Friday. From the Bob and Sherry studios on this fabulous Friday, it's Bob and Sherry.
Oh, welcome to the weekend. Yay! And we got the People's Movie Critic coming up in exactly 1 hour with Adam Sandler's new Netflix movie, Spaceman. And I'm so excited because we all know that the People's Movie Critic is a big Adam Sandler fan. Maybe this is the movie that turns it all around.
You guys,
this is the wildest story. The Russian Republic of Chechnya has just enacted a new law. So let me speak directly to all the people out there that think that it's okay to have some of your freedoms curtailed, you know, because the government would never overstep, right? This is what's happening right now in the Russian Republic of Chechnya. They have banned any music that's either too fast or too slow. And here's what it comes down to. In Chechnya, all music must be between 80 and 116 beats per minute. So I asked Max and Doc. Yeah, listen, guys. So I asked Max and Doc because, you know, I'm very not musical. I'm musically illiterate. And I said, guys, what is a song, like right off the top of your head, that falls into that 80 to 116 beats per minute range? And here's one.
It's a good song, but it's kind of a dirge.
It's not a toe-tapper
that you're going to dance to.
In case you're wondering, like, why did this country go to the effort to ban all music that falls outside that 80 to 116 beat range? I'll tell you why. Most Western pop music is faster or slower.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't want their people hearing Western pop music, even a really beautiful, tame song like this one. One of my favorite Tay songs of all time. This is 116 beats per minute. Oh, this is on the zippy end for Chechnya. Now, if you're wondering, yes, Bob and Sherry, but how will the Chechenian people bust a move at a wedding reception under these kind of strict laws? Hit it. My brand new invention, yeah. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flow this like a legal daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, this is
I don't
legal.
Know. Turn off the lights. This is 116 beats per minute.
Extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal, light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle.
Dance.
Woo! A speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody.
All right, well, I mean, you could dance to that. It's
so
gotta be on the high end of their scale, I guess.
Listen to this. Listen to this and understand that this could happen here. Are you ready? It could. This can happen anywhere because it is human nature to put a boot on the neck of freedom. Here we go. Yeah. The head of Chechnya, Ramzan Kadyrov, said that Chechen music must, quote, conform to the Chechen mentality. Listening to music from other people's culture, inadmissible, not allowed. Chechens are going to listen to Chechen music and Vanilla Ice.
Hey, have they told this guy that it's not the 1960s or 50s anymore? That there's a lot of technology where they could get a lot of this music now? Even on
hey,
the
that's
slide?
True too.
Let me tell you something. They are, that's another thing that's coming up to be banned, is access to that kind of technology. And if you think it can't happen here, we spent a couple of weeks arguing about banning TikTok.
So, this is one of the most disturbing things that I've ever heard of recent. You think it's just music, but it's not just music. Because there are songs that have real passion and the lyrics are very passionate. And I'm thinking of my man. Can you imagine John Fogerty with Fortunate Son? that's a fast song in your face, baby, Mr. Government.
I mean, when the most raucous bop that you can play at a Chechen wedding reception is Ice Ice Baby. Yeah. Which, you know, I'm telling you, a lot of people, I like this song. I'm not going to argue with Vanilla Ice.
But here's the other thing, Sherry. Here's the other thing. So they don't want any outside music coming in. I can't remember any song that came out of Chechnya that I bought. I don't know how much music they're really producing
You don't have a playlist on your phone of great Chechen hits? Come on, Bob.
I do not. I don't have it. America still produces the majority of music that the world loves.
They don't want their people hearing it. We got morons in the news coming up. We got the People's Movie Critic. We have comedian Drew Barth. This is Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Well, welcome back. And it's time for a new feature. Bob takes a look at American business. All right. So, and I know many of you turn to me.
It's sexy sounding.
You turn to me for, you know, my insight into American business. So there is an American product and it's sold around the world. Now, it's sold in Great Britain. Now, when you think of Great Britain, you think of three things. You think of the royal family, and you think of Big Ben, and you think of sheep. Let's face it, they have a lot of sheep. Some of these sheep become very grumpy for some reason, and they become angry. And the rams are fighting each other, and they'll be charging people. So they needed a product that would calm these rams down so that they're not quite as aggressive and stop these sheep in the countryside of England from being so grumpy. It's an American product. We know it as Axe Body Spray. Axe Body Spray.
It calms sheep down?
It calms sheep down. It has become a widespread solution for calming aggressive sheep. And evidently the scent is confusing because there's nothing like it in nature. It's only found on sheep and teenage boys. That's it.
Wow.
And it works. The sheep farmers are spraying it when the sheep get really angry and they just stop fighting. They say, "Oh, okay. All right." So that's one of the American products. The next American business is Jimmy John's. Today is the 19th?
Yes.
The 19th of April. And so that means that tomorrow is the 20th. It is 420. If you don't know, you don't know. Tomorrow is 420, and Jimmy John's is dropping, quote, and this is the actual name of the promotion, the Deliciously Dope Dime Bag Combo Meal for 420. It features a smoked ham provolone sandwich with jalapeno ranch, pickles, crispy jalapenos, lettuce, tomato, and spices, along with a pickle spear, chips, and a fudge chocolate brownie. The meal combo is priced at $10. It's about right, I guess. And available online. Here is your promo code to get it: Dimebag. If you had told me when I was in college that a national company was going to use Dimebag as a way to sell their products, I would have said, well, there's no freaking way. That is not going to happen. This is the fourth year that they've done this. They are calling it the highest of holidays. Now, I have a little problem with that, what with Christmas and all, but it's going to be there tomorrow. Do whatever you want to do. It's all up to you. Here is our third business. This is business that's catching some hell right now. Schweppes Zero Sugar Ginger Ale has been recalled because it's full of sugar.
Now it tastes so good.
That's why it tastes so good. So evidently, people have been going, this is so good. And after a while, somebody said, I think there's something wrong. They mistakenly filled full sugar products despite being labeled as zero sugar. And we're laughing about it here. There were about 6,000 cans that went out in Maryland, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. We're laughing about it, but there are health risks, particularly to people with diabetes or people managing their blood sugar levels. So the recall is going on, and so far no incidents. Let's cross our... I know Schweppes is crossing their fingers that there's no problem.
They're just giant lying liars who lie. Like, that's what it, that's all it came down to. They were like, listen, people want a sugar-free ginger ale, but that's going to cost us a lot of money and hassle. Why don't we just make up some sugar-free cans? These morons don't know the difference.
They'll never
know.
That
they had that meeting. They never did.
They'll never know. And finally here, cowboy boots have sailed. The soar of cowboy boots is breathtaking. What do you think the reason is? All of a sudden, even Louis Vuitton is unveiling a Western fashion line with cowboy boots. Boot Barn, stock has risen. Brands like Wrangler and Levi's, both struggling in recent months, are now optimistic. What is driving cowboy boot sales?
All the bull crap we have to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Beyonce. It's Beyonce.
Oh.
Cowboy Carter, the album release, has pushed all that stuff. So there it is. Did you enjoy Bob's look? What did I call it? Bob's look at business?
See, Bob, if you can't remember what you're calling things.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think that's what I called it.
Attention to detail.
Bob's look at business.
Business.
Catchy.
American businesses.
I think you said
American.
Sherry!
Morons, and the news is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Check this out. We never seem to run out. Out of my way, you moron. Morons in the news with Bob and Sherry.
Police in Canada are so nice. I mean, they really are polite. You know, there's always some people in Canada that could be kind of crazy and doing things that are wrong. It's just human nature. But I think we all agree that most Canadians are very nice people. And the police are that way, too. They stay as polite as they possibly can be, even when they're dealing with morons. A couple of days ago, a guy in British Columbia, Canada, which is a beautiful part of that country, he was driving his Range Rover, and he drove it right into a concrete barrier in broad daylight. He totaled the Range Rover. That is an expensive car. Why did he drive into a concrete barrier? What caused him to do this? How did he lose control? He was, quote, distracted while he was reaching for some fried chicken.
Well, I mean, chicken. Relatable.
Relatable. But when I said that they're very polite, here's the sound from, not the sound, but the words from the local Canadian police. Distracted driving is one of the leading causes of incidents on our highways in BC. Please stay focused on driving and leave your chicken dinner at home. It's good advice, you know?
But it's
just good
chicken.
Advice.
It's
hard to resist.
Chicken.
Well,
yeah,
you gotta pay the price, man. That car's gone.
This is a new one on me. Kinston, North Carolina. A North Carolina man was arrested after a months-long investigation into activity related to the mechanophilia, or a sexual attraction to vehicles and machines. Over the past several months, the police department has responded and investigated activity related to mechanophilia and the victim's vehicle parked on Adkins Street. The offender was captured on video tampering with the victim's vehicle. Investigators were able to positively identify Walter McCravey as the offender and obtained warrants for his arrest. Investigators located McCray and placed him under arrest, and he's charged with the following: felony stalking, damage to property, and injury tamper with vehicle, 5 counts. I looked up this mechanophilia. It is a paraphilia involving a sexual attraction to machines such as bicycles, cars, helicopters, and airplanes. You notice
looking back, usually my car is doing that to me, you know? This is kind of a flip.
Wow.
I've never heard of this, but it's against the law in this country. It's against the law. It's a crime in this country.
Don't do it.
Right? Don't do it. Don't do it.
Today's moron of the day comes to us out of Australia. So you know how frustrating it is when you've been on a long flight and you land and then the pilot comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, we are waiting for a gate. And you might sit for 10 minutes or the longest I've ever waited for a gate was about 50 minutes, which is a long time to sit on the tarmac. It is. So this was not a huge, big, long wait. The flight was a 3-hour Air New Zealand flight from Auckland into Sydney, Australia. And they had to sit for about 20 minutes waiting for a terminal gate when a passenger and her 15-year-old daughter, who were sitting in the aisle in middle seats, heard a sound that was kind of familiar. And they looked over. And the man in the window seat on their row, so it's the mom, the daughter, the man, he was urinating into a plastic cup. Because he just had to go.
Or now, Lamar would call it a slop jar.
It was a slop jar. Now, the man was very intoxicated. And as he left the plane carrying his slop jar, he spilled some of the urine on one of the flight attendants. Now, he got arrested, not for spilling urine on a flight attendant, but for peeing into a cup in the first place. Air New Zealand bans between 5 and 10 customers every single month for this kind of behavior.
Really?
Think about that. Yeah, every single month, 5 to 10 people get banned from Air New Zealand flights for drunken and disorderly. And in this case, peeing into a plastic cup. I want you to imagine, you know how crowded those airplane seats are. Yeah. You have nowhere to escape when the guy next to you whips it out and relieves himself into
should have flown Delta, because Delta is ready when you are. And he was ready and they weren't.
Straight ahead, the People's Movie Critic with his review of Spaceman, starring Adam Sandler. This is Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
This is a really cool story out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. The black-footed ferret is an endangered species in the USA. And so they've been trying to breed a clone. They succeeded in 2021, but the first cloned ferret, Elizabeth Ann was her name, didn't make it. But they have now birthed two more cloned Blackfoot ferrets, Noreen and Antonia. And the genes that they cloned them from are from the 1980s. I just listen to what I just said. Like, they had some DNA from a 1980s Blackfoot ferret.
Sherry, I've got something in common.
And they just cloned it.
I've got something in common. I've got genes from the 1980s, too.
Look at you. Isn't this amazing and excited? So black-footed ferrets, they have little, like, it looks like a little bandit's mask. And they hunt prairie dogs. And they have these vast burrow colonies on the American plains. So they were almost wiped out in the wild, but then they bred thousands and thousands of them in captivity, and they reintroduced them into like the Western U.S. and Canada and Mexico. The only thing they hunt and eat are prairie dogs. So when prairie dogs are threatened, the black-footed ferrets are threatened. This is one of our great conservation success stories. You know that this species was almost wiped out, but thanks to all of this science and all of these people who loved and wanted these animals to thrive, they're back and they're better than ever. But it is trippy to think that they are breeding these clones from 1980s DNA. We are living in some kind of a world. And I'll remind you that earlier in the show, we told you that the country of Chechnya has banned music that's fast or slow because they don't want Western pop music. The same planet where they're banning music, we are saving a species from going into extinction. Human beings, what a conundrum we are. This is Bob and Sherry.
The People's Movie Critics Review is sponsored by Dr. Marty's. DrMartyPets.com/Bob.
It is time now for The People's Movie Critic and his review of Spaceman starring Adam Sandler and streaming on Netflix. Take it away, Lamar.
You know, as anybody who has been listening to my reviews for any amount of time, you probably know I'm not a huge Adam Sandler fan. Now, I do recognize he is a talented guy. And there are a few of his movies that even I really like. Happy Gilmore, The Wedding Singer, The Waterboy, they were all hilarious. Uncut Gems proves that he can be a great dramatic actor. I don't have time to list all the horrible ones, so let's just move on and talk about this one, Spaceman on Netflix. This movie is based on the 2017 novel Spaceman of Bohemia by Jaroslav Kalfar. I hope I never find myself stuck at a party talking to this guy. Because the thought of that makes me truly understand how a raccoon caught in a trap could gnaw his leg off to escape. I get it. I actually get it. And I will say, Adam Sandler did the best possible job with what he was working with. I just don't know why he decided to do it. Because as soon as I read Trapped in a Spacecraft 5 Million Miles from Home with a Talking Spider, I would have been out. But it must be because he has a contract for $250 million with Netflix that makes him the highest paid actor in Hollywood. Netflix says they love him because their subscribers can't get enough of him. I say McDonald's has the most customers of all the hamburger places in the world. But that doesn't mean they have a great taste for a good hamburger and they don't have a great menu. Well, maybe except for them fries. Them fries are on point. I got to go ahead and give that up. Okay, I got to give that up. But now this is an ambitious movie about what I'm sure is an ambitious book. If you're a sci-fi aficionado and you are already on depression medication, and you are good with a talking giant spider, this could be delightful for you. I don't know. At first, when as an astronaut, Sandler was doing live product endorsements for toothpaste, disinfectant, and communication hardware, I was sure this was going to be a farce comedy. I really was. It is not. And I really think if they had made it a comedy, maybe it would have been better. That's really not true. This movie would suck no matter what. Well, Ryan Gosling could not save this movie. I mean, Adam Sandler plays Jacob. He plays Jacob, and that's spelled J-A-K-U-B. He is from the Czech Republic, okay? He speaks English with absolutely no accent, which is sort of weird. He has been on a solo mission with the Eurospace program, and he is studying the Chopra cloud. It is a large cloud of particles that's in space, and they're trying to figure out what it is. He's been gone from his pregnant wife for 189 days. Their relationship is in real trouble. Now, a talking spider the size of a man, voiced by Paul Dano, that can read Jacob's mind, shows up out of nowhere to give him relationship advice. What? Who come up with this? The movie starts off very sad. It stays very sad, and it gets even sadder. Sandler always manages to look very sad. And since, in fact, he is the highest paid actor in Hollywood, that's no small feat. I don't know how he can keep smiling. But now, after watching this, I, too, am very sad. The movie is 1 hour and 47 minutes of your life that you will never, ever, ever get back. It is rated R for ridiculous, remorseful, and regretful. Okay? It's on Netflix. It's on Netflix. You're paying for it anyway. Let me tell you this. If you want to watch it, you go ahead. You know what they say. Misery loves company. My score is 1 bud. Because I was too tired to write Zima. I was just too tired to write Zima. It's 1 bud. This is ridiculous.
One bud for Spaceman and the Talking Spider on Netflix. This is Bob and Sherry. Win a hide-and-scratch cat scratching box for your cat at bobandsherry.com. Go to the contest page and look for our Catterday contest. We have a brand new episode of Talking Lamar that will drop today around lunchtime. Today, he said the title of this episode is OMG, I wet the bed again. I'm not going to give anything away, okay? That's just the title of this episode. So last week on Talking Lamar, Lamar was talking about, you know, when he would visit his grandparents out in the country and they didn't have indoor plumbing and they, you know, they had like slop jars, chamber pots, and people would take turns emptying the slop jars. And Lamar at a very early age decided that he just wasn't going to go to the bathroom. And he managed to not go to the bathroom for his entire K through 12 career. So we have a message for you, Lamar.
Hello, Bob, Sherry, Max, Doc Lamar. This is Stan from Ohio. I swear, Lamar must be my brother from another mother. I recently listened to his podcast about slop jars and party lines. And I grew up in rural Ohio. I, too, grew up with those two things. My dad and some of his friends did put a bathroom in our house when I was about 7 or 8 years old. But the first few years we had the slop jar, and that's what we called it. We didn't call it a chamber pot. And we had a two-holer outhouse that was scary to go to at night. So, yeah, we used the slop jar, and somebody had to dump it in the morning. That was somebody's job. We took turns dumping it, me, my brothers, and parents. And Mom also had the wringer washer. A lot of things Lamar talked about in that podcast, I too grew up with in rural Ohio. I'm also the one, if you remember, I called in. My dad had the phobia about peanuts in the shell. And he also advised me to get rid of chiggers by putting turpentine on them. So it seems like I have a lot in common with Lamar. So I just wanted to share that with
you
all.
Can I just ask?
Love listening to the show. Thanks so much. Keep doing what you're doing. Bye-bye.
Have we taken all of John Boy and Billy's listeners?
Every last one, yeah.
I think we got them all now.
Yeah, every last one.
Let me say this. If I'm ever in the Ohio area, I'm hunting this man down. Because, yes, we do have a lot in common. That melodious voice that he has is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And if I couldn't sit down and put a bottle of bourbon and two glasses on the table and have a long afternoon with him. Oh, my God.
I think you're right. I'm with you, Lamar.
As soon as Stan started talking, I was like,
Yeah.
Listen to that rumbling baritone.
Yeah. Mm.
Hello, Bob, Sherry, Max, Doc Lamar.
Yeah.
This is Stan from Ohio.
Hey, Stan. Yeah. Turpentine on the chicken bites. We could just look at that for a second. I'll tell you what, you'll forget a chigger got you after daddy puts a little turpentine on your flesh.
Whoa. You can do a quarter mile in a flash.
If you've just found the Bob and Sherry show, we do also talk to people live in cities. So stay with us. This is just part of our show.
See, but this is something that is also amazing. It's not amazing to me that we had slop jars and two-hole outhouses in Georgia, but gee, I don't think about it in Ohio, but it just goes to prove an America country is a country. If you're living out in the rural area, it is a country. I never understood the dual hole outhouse, okay? But
why?
I'm very proud.
Because who wants
company,
right?
I'm not sitting next to somebody. Listen, I can go ahead and tell you, you're going to be within about 16 or 18 inches of whoever's sitting over there. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen.
Hi, Max. Come on in.
Let me tell you something. When I go to the bathroom and I go to the bathroom in a convenience store or whatever, and there's like three or four urinals right there, of course, you get the furthest urinal, whatever way. It doesn't matter. I'm looking direct, straight ahead. I know exactly what's on the wall in front of me. I'm not sitting on a hole cut in a plank next to somebody else doing that kind of business. I'm not doing it.
Come on in, Max. Doc warmed it up for you.
Well, the wood. You can't tell. The wood's cold no matter who's been sitting on it. The wood's still cold.
I'm glad to know this, Lamar, because I just feel like if I were interrogated, I feel like I could describe you pretty well. Man's going to do boom booms alone, officer. That was not Lamar in that two-hole around house. He will not.
That's exactly right.
You let him go. He's innocent.
Yeah.
Straight ahead, comedian Drew Barth. This is Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Drew Barth.
I do belong to a gym somewhere. I'm pretty sure. Not quite sure where it is. $16 keeps coming out of my checking account every month. I haven't really tracked it down yet, but I did used to belong to one gym where kind of one of the cool perks was that every month you got one free personal training session with one of their big trainers, which is cool because I don't know anything about working out. But it always would frustrate me because I would always get one of these huge hulking dudes who would never really convey how difficult it was, the exercise that they were going to have you do. They would just kind of assume you were in fantastic shape. This dude would be like, all right, man, here's what you're going to do. You're going to come over. You're going to sit down on this thing. You're going to grab these two bars and just start pulling them into your chest. Just boom, 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 boom. See, it's like a metronome. I'm not even thinking about the boom. I'm just not even thinking about the breathing. I'm just thinking about the plates going up and boom, boom, boom. All right, man, you get down there. You throw down about 25 of those. I'm like, sweet, okay. So I get down. I grab, all right, that's, did you take the safety off on that? Because that's, it's not moving. I'll try to, okay, so I get down, yeah, okay. See, there was like a boom, but it was like here, and I don't want to press my luck on that. Maybe we'll just skip that for now. Where are the showers? Just out of curiosity, if you were to point in a direction, where? My whole level of personal fitness was, my goal was actually set for me kind of by my wife. She bought me underwear for Valentine's Day one year. Didn't know you could do that. And she got me boxer briefs, which personally I can't buy for myself. I usually feel worse about myself when I see the dude on the packaging. Do you guys know that guy? The guy with like the, he's got like the He-Man abs and like a papaya shoved down the front. So he's got that cocky look on his face like, are we filming? I'm not even flexing. I just wake up like this. I opened them up and she was like, go ahead, try them on. I was like, okay. I tried them on. I was looking at the box and like, not even close. I think these are broken, sweetie. They are comfortable though. I've totally converted. I love boxer briefs now. And guys, if you're thinking about making the switch, a couple of words of warning. First of all, never wash them in hot water. Or dry them on the high setting on your dryer. I have a couple of pairs of those where my butt hangs out the bottom a little bit. I look like a Hooters waitress when I walk around the house. It's not even a special occasion kind of thing. It's not. Here's another thing to look for, and I don't think this occurred to my wife at all, but make sure they have a fly on them. Seriously, they sell underwear for men that doesn't have the little door in the front. I don't know who they're for. Mannequins? Lego people? I'm not quite sure, but I didn't realize that that was the pair that I had on until I was in a public restroom and I had rolled up to a urinal and I was like, and it's not panic here. This could be some sort of release latch or some sort of, you know, button fly kind of, what? What am I wearing? This, oh, hold on a second. Nope, not on backwards. That was my last guess. Finally, after a couple minutes, I was like, you know what? Screw it. Let's pretend I'm six. I pulled my pants all the way down. Just, there we go. That's nice. That's breezy. Why'd I stop doing this? This is very comfortable. Hey, what's up, dude? I'm sorry. I didn't. There's no door. I had to pull him all the way down. It feels nice. No, I don't want any money. Thank you. Just not allowed to go back to that Target in particular.
That is good. That is comedian Drew Barth, and we'll get that posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. And we've also got the People's Movie Critic. Got his latest review up there, too, if you missed it a little bit ago here on the show. Don't go anywhere. We've got your Zippy Zodiac today. Let's see what next week is going to be like, shall we? It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to BobandSherry.com.
I think it was 2 days ago, something like 2 or 3 days ago, we played a song that was the Gautier song, which is an amazing song, somebody that I used to know. And it was done by Kurt Cobain, AI. So the voice of Kurt Cobain. Now, sometimes AI voices are not perfect. This one was pretty amazing. And I'm going to tell you what's going on with this sort of thing. Let's just listen to it right now.
She dipped and cut me up.
So there it is, right there. A petition is being generated in the music industry right now about the potential threat of AI-generated music. There's no other way to put it. The Artist Rights Alliance is pushing the petition, and they include Katy Perry, Billie Eilish, Miranda Lambert, also Brothers Osborne, Darius Rucker, Phineas, Imagine Dragons, and the list, John Bon Jovi, the list goes on and on. They are saying that this could destroy creativity, and they are calling on all AI developers to pledge not to develop or deploy AI music-generated technology, content, or tools that undermine, and I'm quoting here, God bless you, or replace the human artistry of songwriters and artists, or deny us fair compensation for our work. You know, yeah. I get it. If I were one of them, I would be signing that. And those are some really big names. And this petition has just started. But I don't know. Bucks talk. And that sounded like Kurt Cobain, didn't it? I mean, it sounded a lot like him. Yeah.
I think it's the best one of those AI things that I've heard.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it okay. You know, like it's fascinating and interesting, but I mean, I know people in our business that are putting that into their contracts. Like, you cannot clone my voice for AI.
Right.
Because then, Bob, we don't need you. I just push the button and I make you say whatever I want you to say.
Yeah, a dream for some people in this industry. And so we'll see where that goes. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Nominated teachers making an impact at BobandSherry.com, and they could win a trip to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach from Visit Florida. You can snatch up our app. It's free in Google Play and the Apple Store, and you can listen to the show and all of our podcasts, including Talking Lamar, the Oddcast, and True Weird Stuff. And you can tap that little microphone in the bottom center of the screen and just talk, 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 and the app will do the rest.
Oh my gosh, I just want to say I am so disappointed in Lamar. Roadhouse was so good, maybe because I'm not comparing it to the first one. I just watched it as a movie, and I so enjoyed it. And normally, I respect Lamar's reviews, but now I'm going to have to watch movies that he think was horrible because he missed me on this one. Love you guys. Quanda from Charlotte.
Listen, you can, if you missed Lamar's review of Roadhouse or of Spaceman, which he reviewed about an hour ago, you can get all of those at BOBANDSHERI.com. Just click the menu tab and look for the People's Movie Critic. My mom loved the new Roadhouse. She said to me, have you watched it? Did your movie man review it? And I was like, Mom, he hated it. She was scandalized. Defend yourself, Lamar. Defend yourself.
Okay. All right. First off, if she's going to try to trick me around by going to watch movies that I hate, well, go ahead and watch Spaceman. That'll get this compass rerouted. Okay. That'll straighten it right back out. You'll be pointing true north after this is over with.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. If that movie had have just come out and been called Don't Take No Crap or, you know, somebody, name it something else besides Roadhouse. But you tried to copy Roadhouse, but change it. Just make this movie. The action was fantastic. I mean, I get all that. But you're calling this Roadhouse, okay? You're saying that this is that, but it's not. And you did not respect the first Roadhouse. This movie would have stood on its own. I wouldn't be having any complaints about it. The fight scenes were great and blah, 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 blah. But I'm looking at all of this through the lens of the original Roadhouse and how respectable I felt that was. This is not that. And I promise you this, 20 years from now, people will still be talking about the original Roadhouse. They won't be talking about this. That's all I'm saying.
So it is written, so it is done. Yeah.
Defending art, yeah.
I want to tell her the same thing I tell my wife. I know I might be wrong to you a lot, but just stay with me. Don't go nowhere. Stay with me. Don't quit me. Don't quit me. That's all I need her to do. So we're good. We're good.
Now, you're not the only one getting in trouble here, Lamar. We got one for Bob, good. Too.
Really, Bob? I'm a longtime fan. But really? Prince Charles has had bad things happen to him? What bad things? Did somebody trick him into marrying? Did somebody just, like Camilla, throw herself on top of his business when he wasn't looking? Did he have a gun to his head when he wanted to be a feminine hygiene product? Let's reword that a little bit. He's done some bad things.
Well, I mean, the man has cancer, you know, so.
And that's sad. That's sad.
And that's very sad. That's very sad. And, you know, it's not an easy job. I know they have everything in the world they could possibly want, but it's not an easy job. I've always, except for those moments where, you know, he was cheating on his wife, Diana. I did not like that at all. That was a very bad thing to do, but he's been very big on the environment and classic architecture for London, things like that. So I've kind of liked him. Boy, she does not like Charles at all, does she?
I don't either. I'm with her.
You don't like Charles at all?
No, I don't.
Women don't respect a cheater. They just don't. Once you cheat with a woman, they're done.
It's not even the cheating. What they don't respect is the fact that he was not true to himself on who he really loved in life and stood up for that and said, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I love this woman and that's who I'm going to marry.
And you know why? Because he wanted that crown on his wiry head more than he wanted his own integrity or his life to be as he would.
I understand what you're saying, but he also got pressure from the establishment of the royal family.
Yeah, well, stand up.
You know what?
Stand up and be a man.
It's been proven you can stand up to that.
Stand up and be a man. Stand up and be a man.
Are you talking about...
Stand up, yes. Stand up to centuries. He was a sniveling baby. And also, any man that says, I'd like to be a tampon, is a man that needs to be taken out back and smacked upside his face. Yeah. And I'm
Does
the
man not get a pass for those big ears?
It's the worst dirty talk I've ever heard in my life. It's the worst dirty talk ever.
Well, that's
with those big ears. With those big ears, he should have offered to be an always pad with wings, but no. No, I didn't even understand that.
God. Woman.
I'm done with y'all. I am not a Charles fan.
Do you have no shame?
Bob, I'm a morning radio DJ. If I had shame, I'd be doing something else. It's Bob and Sherry.
That's true.
At the Bob and Sherry store, you have the freedom to buy whatever you want. Like Bob and Sherry caricature mugs, grocery bags, phone cases, True Weird Stuff swag, the Book of Bob, plus much, much more. At the Bob and Sherry store, no one will tell you what you gotta do.
No one can tell you what you gotta do. No one knows better than you.
Get all this stuff at bobandsherry.com on the shop tab. That's the Bob and Sherry store at bobandsherry.com.
Use the Talk Back feature.
Talk Back feature
on the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
Gary Sinise, we are so delighted to chat with you today. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
I'm looking at a picture of you, Gary, right now on stage. Is that a Fender bass that you play in the band?
I do play a Fender Jazz, yeah.
And how long have you been a bass player?
Oh, I started playing bass when I was in seventh grade. So,
did you?
I couldn't play guitar very well, so they stuck the bass on me and I started playing bass. through my high school days and into my early 20s. And then I got very busy with acting. And now, you know, I mean, my band has played hundreds of shows. I don't make a living at it. It's not what I do for money. It's all part of the mission of giving back to our service members. So you can look at our foundation website. You'll see 500 something shows on there. I've been blessed to have a lot of support so I could raise money or donate money to pay my band members and do a lot of good.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the work that the Gary Sinise Foundation does, because I want people to know when they come and support a show, when they support the organization, I want them to know that, like, for example, you build homes, specially adapted homes for seriously wounded veterans that are absolutely 100% mortgage free, that they can live in, that have the necessary access and modifications and even adaptations to vehicles. That's a really big deal. Do you remember the first house that you and your foundation built and handed the keys over? That must have been a moment.
Well, I do. Absolutely. I remember how I got started with this. I was acting in CSI New York at the time. You know, I'd been going to Walter Reed and doing regular trips to Walter Reed. In 2009, I went to the hospital and I met the first surviving quadruple amputee. His name was Brendan Morocco, and he had been blown up in Iraq and lost both his arms and both his legs. And I saw him in the hospital and spent some time with him there. And then a short while later, I was shooting CSI New York in New York, and the commissioner of the fire department, who I knew because I had helped raise money to build a 9/11 memorial there called the Brooklyn Wall of Remembrance, and it honors all the first responders that were killed that day. And so I knew the fire department folks, and they came to my set and they said, look, we want to raise money to build a home for a Staten Island soldier who got blown up and he's missing his arms and legs. And I said, wait a minute. I met him in the hospital. I know who you're talking about. And they said, well, will you help us raise money? So I said, yes, I'll donate my band. We'll do a big concert. We'll raise money. And that's what we did for Brendan. Back in 2010, I did a concert in Staten Island. That's where he's from. And we built the first house there for him. And unfortunately, after he was injured, there were four more quadruple amputees over the course of the next couple of years. And we built them all houses. And then when I started my foundation in 2011, we created a program called RISE, Restoring Independence, Supporting Empowerment, to build specially adapted smart technology homes or provide adapted vehicles, mobility devices, wheelchairs, that kind of thing. And over the years, now the foundation has done 90 of these houses.
You know, I'm thinking about previous generations and how, you know, you think about the Vietnam War veterans and how they came home and it was kind of like, all right, the country doesn't want to think about this anymore. We don't want to acknowledge it. I feel like one of the things that we've gotten better at in our culture and society is that recognition that these people served and sacrificed and it matters and they deserve not only our respect, but also our care and attention.
Well, we have gotten better. I am largely motivated, going back to the beginning of this current conflict, Iraq and Afghanistan, by the Vietnam veterans and my own family and the way they were treated when they came home, and not wanting to see that happen to our current day 21st century warriors coming back from war and not wanting the country to turn its back on them. So I was motivated by that. I was 18 years old in 1973. That's when combat operations ended in Vietnam. But I have family members who served there. I learned quite a bit from them. I wrote a book in 2019 called Grateful American. And in it, you know, I tell their stories. I tell the stories of the Vietnam veterans and my family who influenced me and impacted me back in the late 70s and early 80s. And how, you know, learning from them and so much of what I gained from them manifested itself into this ongoing mission today.
Well, Gary Sinise, here's something that you say, but maybe don't hear often enough. And that is, thank you for your service and what you're doing for our wounded heroes and our first responders and their families. Can you shout out how folks listening to this right now, if they feel it in their heart to get involved or donate, where they can best do that?
Well, you can certainly go to the Independence Fund website. So Independence Fund, absolutely look them up. And you can always look up Gary Sinise Foundation as well. There's some great videos on our YouTube channel that show what we're doing. And I know Independence Fund has the same thing.
We thank you for joining us today on the Bob and Sherry Show. This is Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this.
True crime time. This is going to sound like a really bad made-for-TV sequel to the movie Weekend at Bernie's. A woman named Erica de Souza Vieira Nunez has been arrested in Brazil after she put her dead uncle into a wheelchair and wheeled him into a bank so that he could sign the loan documents for her. Now, we have video because the bank employees couldn't help but notice that her uncle looked so very, very pale. So as they're rolling video on her, Erica Nunez is talking to the corpse. Uncle, are you listening? And then she took the pen and she put it between his cold, dead fingers and tried to sign paperwork, which would be a loan. It's not a ton of money. It's like maybe $3,000 US, that's what she was trying to do. And she's telling him, because of course he's having a hard time, what with him being deceased and all. She's saying, and you can see it in the video, she's saying, sign here, uncle, and stop giving me a headache. And his head is swaying a little bit because, you know, he's deceased. And she's like adjusting his head. And a bank worker says to her, ma'am, I don't think this is legal. He doesn't look well. He's very pale. And then so Nunez tells the bank employee, oh, he's just like that. Then she turns to the corpse of the uncle and says, if you're not well, I can take you to the hospital. Do you want to go back to the hospital again? Bank tellers signaled and some employees called 911. Paramedics came and they confirmed that 68-year-old Paulo Braga had died just hours before he was crammed into his wheelchair and taken into the bank.
If I'm her, I'm going, dead? What do you mean he's dead? How can he be dead? I was just talking to him.
Yeah,
that's exactly why you're never going to prison, Lamar, because you are prepared.
I'm ready.
So we don't yet know the man's cause of death. She was arrested right there on the scene. She told police that she was his niece and his caregiver. The police chief, Fabio Luiz, said that an investigation is underway to find out if he was alive and agreed to this loan or if she just took advantage of his death to throw him into a wheelchair and take him into the bank to get some money. Now, believe it or not, this isn't the first instance of people bringing a corpse into a public place to run a scam. Let me remind you that last summer in July, two men in Ireland were put in jail for attempting to use a dead man's body to trick the post office and claim that man's pension check. So the two guys that did it, one was sentenced to 2 years in prison and his conspirator was sentenced to 18 months in prison. So it's early days. This just happened in Brazil. And I've seen the uncle. I mean, I've seen this whole thing. And look, folks, I know most of us in America are squeamish about death. Many of us have never seen a dead body. But you know one when you see one. And these bank tellers were not fooled. This is what's going to happen to you.
I would
this
be
is
really
what's
going
to happen to me. And I've got three suspects in mind. I won't mention who they are, but I got at least three or four in mind.
Putting the pen in his dead fingers and trying to get his signature.
Hey, I'm assuming she was quoted as saying, this looks so much easier in that movie, that Weekend at Bernie's movie. Yeah. It looked a lot easier than
this. Yeah. I will tell you that Bernie in Weekend at Bernie's looked far more alive than Uncle did. Does not look well. And the bank tellers were right in being suspicious.
May I point out in Weekend at Bernie's that that was an actual actor who was alive, and that's why he looked alive. More alive. So
he really did. Yeah.
Oh, he was? Oh, I thought he was dead. Yeah.
So we're going to post this up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Y'all, greed is a terrible thing. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
West Valley City, Utah. At a birthday party at Scales and Tails, which is an educational and interactive reptile and bird show, Lindsay Bull was working with an alligator named Darth Gator. Now, Bull is familiar with Darth, and Darth follows commands like come, stay, open. So she was comfortable with him, and when she attempted to give him some food, he clamped down on her hand. Horrified parents are grabbing their kids and rushing them away from the scene, and Bull is trying to get her arm free. In steps Donnie Wiseman, one of the visitors. He called for help and then jumped in the tank to help her. Wiseman climbed on the gator's back to keep it from doing the death roll as they waited for help to arrive. He was holding it. Now, eventually, Bull was able to be pulled from the tank and Wiseman escaped as well. And when asked about the incident, Wiseman said he just did like they did in all the movies and documentaries he'd seen on TV. He'd watched that. He knew what to do. Bull's hand did require surgery and physical therapy, and her injuries were like a wrist and a thumb was broken. She's going to have some tendons fixed, whatever. She's going to be fine. Bull says she's not mad, said he was doing just what animals do. I feel really good about this because I feel good about all the TV and movies that I've watched because I feel like I'm prepared for everything from stopping a terrorist attack, outsmarting a serial killer, bringing somebody back with a car battery and a set of jumper cables to repairing a crunchy risotto. I think I can do all of that because I've watched all this stuff. So I'm just waiting. Put me in, coach. I don't care what's going on. I've seen it happen on TV or in a movie, and I think I'm ready. I am ready.
I had the same thought about you.
I accept that.
Yeah, I had the same thought. Oh, yeah, Lamar. Lamar's watched enough TV. There's probably very few things you couldn't figure out how to get yourself out of.
There's a picture of him. In fact, there's a whole video of this whole thing, but there's a picture of him holding on. You can see he's got the gator, so he can't roll either way because that death roll, that would have been it for her arm.
I have to tell you, that guy is all man.
Yep.
That is a hell of a man right there, that guy.
Yep. Yes, it does. This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
It is talk back time. Now, you can reach the show lots of ways. If you have our app, which is free in Google Play in the App Store, you can download that, tap the little microphone and talk. You can DM us on all of the socials. You can email us at bobandsherry.com. Here we go.
Hey, Bob and Sherry. Heard the bit about your phone that's just mysteriously ringing around your place there, and it got me thinking about the ghost story and how person recently lost a loved one and gets calls from beyond the grave, and also about how there's phones that are just mysteriously in the catacombs of France, you know, from cave-ins and such. And you know, it just got me thinking, you know, you just never know where phones are anymore in the world. There's just they're everywhere, literally, from the last century, just getting to be everywhere. You never know where calls are coming from or where you're sending calls. It's just a real kind of crazy kind of thought, you know? You never know who's listening or who you're talking to. And I know Sherry loves the supernatural like I do, so take that psychedelic thought, and you guys have a real great day.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. In all seriousness, after what we've been through with previous ownership groups and management, 888 Bob Sherry buried in the catacombs in Paris sounds about right.
That sounds about right. You know what that reminds me of? I saw an old Twilight Zone the other day. It was actually more than the other day. It was 2 or 3 months ago. Hulu had like a thing with Twilight Zone episodes, classic Twilight Zone episodes. And I've only seen a few in my life. So I said, let me take a look at this one. So this one, and it's in black and white, which made it even spookier. This woman lost her husband. He died in a car crash. So he's dead and buried. And she's got a landline because this is before cell phones. And she's sitting there and she's very distraught and she's trying to get on with her life. And the phone rings and she goes over to it and picks it up. And she hears, "Hello, I miss you. Are you seeing someone else?" And it's his voice. And she slams it down. She slams it down and it continues every day. And of course, when the phone rings during the episode, you see her eyes get wide and, "Oh my God, is it my son? Is it my mother? Is it my sister?" And she goes over and then she hears the voice, "Hello?" And she is freaking out and she doesn't know what to do. And she's going, "Leave me alone. You're not here. You're gone. You're dead." And she goes to his grave at the end of the episode. And you see it.
Hello?
How you're doing this?
That was very spooky. You just dropped out, Bob.
Bob. You did.
Oh, in the midst of this, that's too trippy.
Am I back?
You're back.
What are we doing?
You're back now.
Okay.
But in the midst of your talking, you dropped.
I dropped out.
As you were saying, she got to the cemetery, and as you were going to explain what had happened,
I was
you
gone.
Dropped out.
That is spooky. That is very spooky. Do you want me to finish it?
Please keep talking.
Okay.
We're gone.
So I'm back. Okay. So she's just speaking to any spirit that she feels might be in the area, her husband's spirit. And there's nothing. There's just silence. She says, "How do you do this? How are you torturing me? How are you?" And she stops. And she looks up and there's a telephone pole. And there's a wire that leads from the telephone pole into the grave.
Yeah, but
that's the end.
Hey, we all live in a time where that phone is going to go the other way. It's going to ring inside the grave, and Angie wants us to up our warranty. I'm telling you, none of us can escape.
Yeah, she'll never give up. She will never, ever give up. Wouldn't that be an eternity in hell?
Oh, it's wow. Bob and Sherry.
Here's Bob and Sherry with Charlie King and the Zippy Zodiac.
I'm always hopeful that next week is going to be amazing. So let's find out, Aries.
So for Aries, costs will hit you out of left field. And you learn from some expensive lessons. But a high price to pay that's heading your way could actually be quite fun. Like something to do with travel or buying tickets for abundant future adventures. Well, Taurus,
okay.
This is your luckiest week of all weeks. Not only is it your birthday month beginning, but it's this year's most rare planetary Jupiter alignment in your sign. So if ever there's a week to play your numbers, this is it. But outside of lucky breaks, you might simply find yourself kind of free from a heavyweight that's been getting you down. Gemini, you could get some kind of surprise from a partner this week. And whether that's professional partner or a personal partner, it's somebody that you share quite a lot of your life with that has something fun and nice or just outright shocking in store for you. So be ready for the unexpected.
We'll talk about this again next week. I'll let you know.
For Cancer this week, your work landscape could be expanding quite rapidly or there's some other kind of shakeup in your job. Just keep positive that these innovations offer you satisfaction in the end and be adaptable with your regular list of to-dos so that when an offer does kind of catch you off guard, you're going to be so ready to take it. Leo, get ready for you to take a big risk yourself. You don't need no offers. You can just go for it. This is all about your long-term future. And it might be something like a gap year, a sabbatical, or just trying something completely different altogether. And you're ready to take a gamble, no matter how unpredictable it feels. And it surprises you pleasantly with positive returns. Just be yourself and go against the grain. Virgo, remain flexible in your home situation. It is essential to stay flexible because a hidden discovery right beneath your feet or some surprising news related to your family shows up. And the main message is to be ready to feel a little bit uncomfortable when others come out of the woodworks to try and cash in on your hard-earned efforts.
I want to tell you that we were talking privately about what my financial advisor calls the Bank of Dad.
Hey, oh, Bob, this isn't so much hula bula after all, is it?
Huh? I'll tell you what, the last 3 weeks, but I mean, that is just remarkably right on target.
How about Libra?
With Libra, you're going about your daily errands and you stumble upon an unexpected opportunity for fun. So this comes from right within your local community. You might attend a neighbor's get-together or accept an invitation to a local gathering and have actually the most exciting time that you've had in a while. Scorpio.
Okay.
Scorpio could experience a sudden windfall or, on the other side of that, an unexpected expenditure. So your money's coming in or it's going out to the extreme amount. But the good thing for this is that you get some kind of freedom from a restriction. And this might be a restriction that someone else has put upon you. So if things in life have been one-sided, then that balances out in your favor. Or simply, you begin to break free from whatever little box that others have put you in and you act the part of the rebel. Sagittarius, you could find your life journey unexpectedly veering all the way off course and into territory that you had never, ever considered. And this could be when a hobby shows a potential to turn professional. So lean into a casual interest and make it a regular commitment that you stick to by literally writing it into your diary, and you will not go wrong. Capricorn. So this week for Capricorn, thanks to a few cool but still somewhat inconvenient lucky moments in your world, you might accept an amazing golden opportunity, but the catch is, because there is always a catch for Capricorn, you have to break this news to others who might not be very happy for you, or at the very least they're going to be shocked with your decision. But who cares? Go ahead and just do what's right for you anyway.
So wait, something good is going to happen and I'm just not going to be asked to do a whole bunch of work until I collapse? But this good thing that is potentially going to happen, I've never seen it before, so I'm excited to witness it, is going to make other people upset because they want me to just do a bunch of work till I collapse.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. All right. You'll notice the silence from the crickets here.
Yeah.
Who are like, they're like, oh, no, we need her work until she collapses. We can't have anything good happening. That doesn't serve. All right, Aquarius.
Aquarius, you might be ready to explode when a spotlight shines on home, living, or family space. And there's just this truth that you can no longer keep contained. So it may be time to speak on that thing that you disagree with or to share a burning desire for a complete life overhaul. And the bonus is that a fresh start is possible as a result of taking that huge leap. And Pisces. Pisces must remain flexible with travel when lots of little local detours or even car problems and car issues throw a spanner in the works of your regular week. So take the opportunity to walk. Get some fresh air if that's an option, and it might give you the chance to connect with your neighborhood or even your neighbors a little bit more.
You know, this is a better week than we've had in a long time, don't you think, Charlie?
Yeah, it sounded pretty good.
Accurate.
Except for the part where, you know, Bob's going to find something under his house, and then others are going to spend his money. Yeah. But in a lot of ways, isn't that every week, you know? So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to get this posted up at bobandsherry.com and on our Facebook. And we want everybody, if this forecast turns out to really land for you, it does every week for Max and Bob. I mean, it's uncanny.
It's really amazing.
We want to hear from you. Shoot us a talkback message on our app or let us know with an email at hello@bobandsherry.com. And I am looking very forward to this good news that's coming my way. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
Sherry and I are alike in many ways. We're different in many ways. But the one thing we do have in common is we have an aversion to looking at scales. And I don't bother because my weight really doesn't fluctuate very much. But evidently, eating spaghetti and then following the spaghetti up with chocolate Twizzlers, which are amazing, at 9 o'clock at night is not a good idea. Because I put on about 7.5 pounds without even realizing it. And I'm not a great big guy. So 7.5 pounds on me is noticeable. I got out of the shower and I was going to shave and I looked at myself and I went, whoa, buddy, what's going on there? And I'm talking about my stomach. And so I got on the scale.
Thank you because I was about to go. And what about that weight?
Oh, well. I appreciate that very much. I got on the scale and it was 7.5 pounds and it really ticked me off. And I noticed that the main way I can tell that I'm gaining weight is my pants get tighter and I've got some jeans that are fairly tight jeans. So I was concerned about that and I started changing things. I started eating at 7:30 at night instead of at 9 o'clock at night. So it was a little bit of an effort there. And finally, I got back on a scale yesterday and I had lost 6 of the 7.5 pounds.
Did you lose those 6 pounds by just not eating Twizzlers for one day? Is that how you did that? Because that's going to infuriate me.
Ozempic.
Mm-hmm. No, I would not take Ozempic. And it was more than a day. I will tell you that much. It was definitely more than a day.
I don't like chocolate Twizzlers. I can't believe you like those. They're so gross.
That's a horrible flavor.
Oh, no, they're so nasty. I love them. They're so gross.
Anyway.
Why don't you just eat a vinyl footstool? But go ahead. Lost 6 of your 7.5 pounds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 6 of the 7.5. And I was very pleased with that until I looked at my stomach again. And my stomach did not look like my stomach normally looks. And that concerned me quite a bit. So Mary's in the other room and she's talking to Madison on the phone. And I go walking in there and I pull up my shirt and I went, does this look odd to you? You know, you've seen me. And she went, what? I said, my stomach. Does it look different? And she's, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I've lost, and I can't say in what period of time, because that would piss her off too. But I said, I've lost like 6 pounds, but my stomach looks, it's still protruding something. It's odd. And she said, I don't know, what are you talking? And I said, all right, I lost 6 pounds. And she said, hang on, Madison. You lost 6 pounds? Do you know that I lost 25 pounds after I gave birth to my first kid, took a long time. I lost 25 pounds that I had to lose with my second kid, took a long time. What do you think is going on there? I said, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe it could be a tumor. And then she started laughing and said, hang on, Madison, your stepfather thinks that his stomach has a big tumor in it. And I can hear them both. And it's serious to me because it's never looked that way. And she said, I told you 25 pounds because if you lose weight, it takes a while for, you know, the skin to, you know, contract, for your muscles to contract because they've been pushed out. It's not a tumor. And then you could hear them both laughing. What do you think it is? Do you think that she's right?
Um,
I think it's apathy on their part about your tumor.
Does your stomach, will the skin contract or muscles contract a little bit if you've lost weight after a while?
Yeah, up to a point. It's not going to bounce back like you think it should. It's not bouncing back like that.
You don't know that.
Yeah. It's going to stay.
Yeah, I do. I do forever. Because I science. Are you Bob, science?
You, are you
You're
saying
not a teenager
I gained
seven
anymore? Seven You're
and
not a
teenager
half pounds.
Anymore.
7.5 pounds, and I can't get that thing back to where it was like last year?
I don't think so. Not 100%.
It's a cute little
belly,
though.
Are you kidding me?
It's cute. It's cute.
It's not cute.
There was a time in our history when that was a good thing to have that. You were attractive to women because you... It showed you had money because you had a big belly.
You expected Dr. Brown to show up with a DeLorean to take him back so he can feel good about it?
Yeah. Listen, Bob. Listen. That little pooch... That little Twizzler pooch is dwarfed by the scenic attractions just below. Don't you worry about a thing, mister.
Hey, yeah. Everybody wants a shed over the tools. Everybody wants a shed
Amen,
over the
brother.
Tools.
You got this.
Woo! I'm feeling better. Thanks for listening.
It's the second eclipse of 2024. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
In January of 1913, an Ohio couple used the U.S. Postal Service's new parcel service to mail their infant son. The Beegs paid 15 cents for his stamps and insured him for $50. And then they gave him to the mailman, who dropped the boy off at his grandmother's house about a mile away. So, could people mail their children? Well, technically, there was no postal regulation against it. There were about seven instances of people mailing children between 1913 and 1915, beginning with the baby in Ohio. People who mailed their children, now they weren't just handing them over to a stranger. In rural areas, many families knew the mailman quite well. Mary Pierstaff's parents sent her to her grandparents' house 73 miles away in February of 1914. The postal worker who took her by railway mail train was a relative. The Idaho family paid 53 cents for the stamps that they put on their six-year-old girl's daughter's coat. So they had to put the stamps on them where people could see them. Postmaster General Albert S. Burleson officially banned postal workers from accepting humans as mail. But a year later, a woman mailed her six-year-old daughter from her home in Florida to her father's home in Virginia, 720 miles. It was the longest postal trip of any of the children that were mailed, and it cost 15 cents in stamps. Now, in August of 1915, three-year-old Maud Smith made what appears to be the last journey of a child by the U.S. Post. Her grandparents mailed her 40 miles through Kentucky to visit her sick mother. Now, speaking of weird stuff, in 1916, William H. Calthrap sent 80,000 bricks through the mail to build a bank. Postmaster Burleson set the weight limit one person could send to 200 pounds a day because he said it's not the intent of the United States Postal Service that buildings can be shipped through the mail. So they put a stop to that, too.
You know what? My father would have mailed me, but he wouldn't have paid the $50 for the insurance.
Well, he might not have put a return address on either. Hey, this is Bob and Sherry.
That too.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.